Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this week once again is Dr. Virginia Toth, manager of the Audiology, Tinnitus, and Balance Programs at Hackensack Meridian Health Johnson Rehabilitation Institute in Edison. Good morning once again, doctor.
Oh, good morning, Joel. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you back. I can't believe you came back to talk after last time. I was like, she's never going to talk to me again. After I said tinnitus all those times, and it's tinnitus. I've been saying that my whole life. So
most people, I think you could say it either way, tinnitus or tinnitus. Both are acceptable.
Okay, I'm going to do my best to say tinnitus throughout this conversation. That is just one of the things that you treat or that you deal with. Today, we're going to talk about over-the-counter hearing aids. Why wouldn't all hearing aids be over-the-counter?
Well, over-the-counter hearing aids are devices that make sounds louder and are available for purchase in stores or online without a hearing test from an audiologist or a prescription from a physician. Once these devices are purchased, the consumer would be responsible for setting up the device, including fitting of the device and tuning the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, prescriptive hearing aids are not over-the-counter or done via prescription and not over-the-counter. They need to be purchased through a professional.
And why is that? It's just like if you go to an eye doctor, you have to get a prescription for glasses. This is the same you would need to get a prescription for the hearing aids.
Well, I think what happened was the Food and Drug Administration developed regulations for a class of over-the-counter hearing aids in response to demands by consumers for affordable and accessible hearing aids.
The reason is mainly the cost?
Well, interestingly enough, studies show that the average person waits 7 to 10 years after first experiencing hearing loss before seeking professional hearing help. Studies also link untreated hearing loss with an increased risk of depression, falls, and earlier onset of decline in thought processes. One goal of the over-the-counter hearing aids is to provide more timely access to lower-cost hearing aids. Over-the-counter hearing aids may be a good first step in getting people situational hearing help earlier. However, when individuals need a more customized solution, have complex medical needs, or have an increasing degree of hearing loss, they may need to involve an audiologist to create more of a comprehensive plan of care. So it was really twofold. It was first to bring the price down a little bit, and second, to encourage people, because the price was lower, to seek help sooner.
I don't know. It seems like most people, and you probably experienced this too, don't admit or they don't think that they have a hearing issue. And I guess that's why it takes 7 to 10 years, as you said, to get help.
That's correct. So the benefits, as we just mentioned, the benefits, of course, is lower cost, because there's a lot of people that, some people do have hearing aids covered under their insurance, but general Medicare does not pay for it. So it's an expense. And people are not necessarily willing to put that money out. However, when you bring the price down, they're more inclined to do that. And so they may start off with an over-the-counter hearing aid that provides some relief, but then as their hearing loss begins to progress, the over-the-counter hearing aid no longer provides them with the benefit that they need. Or they may not be savvy enough to be able to fit it properly in their ears. They may get discomfort from it in their ears. They also have to manage it and program it on their own. So there's no support for utilizing the device. And there are some people that are savvy enough to do that, but there are still others that are not. And they want that professional guidance.
For those who don't know how to do it, and let's say they purchase an over-the-counter hearing aid and they don't get help, what are some of the dangers there?
Well, what happens is that depending on the fitting, they could create some difficulties with discomfort and possible irritation to their ear. If their hearing is not significant enough, and they start wearing something like this, they can damage their ear. Mm. And oftentimes, what happens is that these people, they're not getting the benefit that they want, they then throw them in the drawer and they don't use them. So they end up putting out less money at the beginning, but losing the money afterwards because they're not using the product, as opposed to going to a professional who guides them through that whole process.
They get the hearing aids, but they end up not using them. And so it doesn't sound like this is a good alternative. It's a good temporary alternative, as you said at the beginning, but it doesn't sound like it's something you can use for the rest of your life, and it could damage your hearing more quickly.
It could deteriorate faster. It's not going to cause the hearing to deteriorate more quickly.
Okay.
It may cause some damage to the hearing if it's not used properly, or if you provide too much amplification, because it's a very broadband amplification, where prescriptive hearing aids are specific to the different pitches that you're having difficulty hearing. So we can program it. So, for example, you know, when we hear a variety of different pitches, similar to the pitches on the keys of a piano, and not everybody has a flat hearing loss the same at every single pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So over-the-counter hearing aids just give you one amount of amplification across the pitches, where a custom product actually goes into each one of those different pitches and gives you the amount of amplification. So it's more custom to your degree of hearing loss, and the quality of the sound is much better, because the hearing aids today are digital in nature, the prescriptive ones.
Mm-hmm.
And digital, what happens with the digital hearing aids, as opposed to the analog hearing aids that were available years ago, are the digital hearing aids provide a very clear, crisp sound that they deliver to the ear. So oftentimes when someone loses their hearing, the hearing can become distorted, and that's what a lot of people don't understand about hearing loss. They think just because they have hearing loss, all they need is volume.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes
yeah.
the hearing gets distorted, so the words just don't sound very clear. So you want to make sure whatever you're presenting to the ear is going to be a very clear, crisp sound. It's similar to when you're watching television and you look at something, a channel that's in HDMI, like, it's digital, and you can see the difference in the clarity. Once you get used to watching it digital, the television, and then you go back to watching it without the digital version
right.
of it, you can definitely see the difference in the clarity. It's the same thing with the digital hearing aids.
So it's, that's very interesting. Now, I always thought that you just need more volume, but it's analyzing, or I guess the doctor analyzes the ear to see what it needs, much like, I mean, we give lots of examples here, but when you have your eyesight, you don't just need to amplify, like put two magnifying glasses on your eyes. You need a specific type of prescription, and that's what you need for hearing as well.
Absolutely. And what happens sometimes is everybody's hearing loss is different. So what oftentimes happens is people will be reluctant to come in for amplification because maybe they spoke with a friend or a family member who was not successful utilizing the hearing aids. But again, you can't compare your experience
mm-hmm.
with someone else's experience, because again, everyone's hearing loss is different. What we do is, when we're looking at the distortion in the ears, we measure it by giving somebody a list of words to see how clear they hear them. Some people will get 100% of the words correct at a volume that's comfortable for them. Other people only get 40% of the words correct because the hearing is distorted. So it's very difficult to compare your experience to someone else. And also what happens sometimes is people have an expectation that hearing aids are going to do exactly what your glasses do, where you put your glasses on and immediately everything's in focus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what necessarily happens with hearing aids because of the distortion and the damage of the hearing.
So you don't know if you're a candidate, and we'll get into how you know if you are a candidate for over-the-counter hearing aids or any hearing aids, but if you're a candidate for hearing aids, you don't know what you need.
No, absolutely not. That's why it's very important to seek the advice of an audiologist, so that the audiologist can test your hearing, and the audiologist can tell the individual whether or not they are a candidate for the over-the-counter hearing aid or not.
Talking with Dr. Virginia Toth, manager of audiology, tinnitus, and balance programs at Hackensack Meridian Health Johnson Rehabilitation Institute in Edison. So we just jumped into that. Candidate. How do I know? I come to you. Well, how do I know before I come to you? What signs, Liz, before we get to find out if you're a good candidate for over-the-counter hearing aids, what should I be looking for in me that would be a sign that I need a hearing aid of any kind?
Well, I think the first thing is asking someone to repeat frequently. So you start to say what quite often. Your family member brings it to your attention. The other thing that happens oftentimes is it may start off when you'll know that you're starting to develop some hearing loss when you start to develop a little bit of tinnitus. So usually that could be the first sign that the hearing is deteriorating, but it's not always the first sign. But when there's tinnitus present, there usually is a subsequent hearing loss. And when someone decides that, or someone starts to recognize that they're asking people to repeat themselves, if their family members are bringing it to their attention, if they start complaining that people are mumbling, if they start to say things like, oh, mm-hmm. I can hear you better if I look directly at you because they're reading your lips.
Yeah.
So those are some of the telltale signs. And also if you are getting a little older, if you've been exposed to noise or gunfire or manufacturing noise, those are also things that may cause your hearing to deteriorate a little bit quicker.
Yeah, loud music.
Loud music, absolutely.
Yeah. You got me thinking now because I feel like I'm somebody, like when you say occasional tinnitus, you mean like in a ringing once a day, once a week?
No, something on a more consistent basis.
Okay.
I mean, I think we all experience intermittent tinnitus occasionally.
We do, okay. But that's good to know.
Absolutely. But the tinnitus that I'm talking about is more sustained tinnitus where you're hearing it and it's just not going away.
Let's look at this. Someone who seems to need people to repeat sometimes, but they observe that they can hear things that other people aren't hearing, or other people, they turn on the TV and it's at a high volume and you don't need it at that volume, or you can hear something in the distance very clearly and you're saying to yourself, well, you know, I have pretty good hearing, I can hear that. But then you're, you know, 5 feet from someone, maybe you're not looking at them and you ask them to repeat something, or they mention that you're asking them to repeat it a lot. Weren't you listening? Is it? I mean, I'm thinking, could it just be a case that you're not paying attention? Yeah, how do you differentiate?
I think that when we start to say I was just not paying attention, usually that's a telltale sign that there's hearing loss present.
Okay.
Especially if family members are bringing it to the person's attention on a frequent basis. One of the things that happens oftentimes is it can be situational. So if I'm sitting it's quiet and I'm sitting across the table at a quiet restaurant, I'm able to hear my wife or my husband or my friend, whoever I'm having dinner with. Mm-hmm. But once the environment starts to contain some background noise, maybe
right.
some music or conversational chatter, then the patient may begin to feel like they're not following it as much. So oftentimes it can be situational. So if it's a quiet situation, there's no interference, no background noise, I hear fine. But then as soon as there's background noise present, that's when they start to notice that they're not hearing as well.
Yeah, and I noticed that with my dad, who wears hearing aids. When we're in a crowded restaurant, it's really hard for him to hear.
Yeah, I mean, the hearing aids, every year the technology and the hearing aids get better. And they're using AI for the hearing aids to be able to recognize the difference between the chatter in the background or the noise from the kitchen and the person in front of you. So there's lots of technology that's available in the hearing aids these days to help in those situations, but nothing is ever going to replace the brain.
right.
And so I think that's what happens. A lot of people, and if they're not counseled properly on what to expect from hearing aids, the expectation is I'm going to put the hearing aid in, I'm going to hear clear as day, just like when I put my glasses on, and that's not necessarily true. And then people are not successful with hearing aids because they've never really spoken to someone who was able to explain the expectations of hearing aids.
Okay, so let's talk about the over-the-counter hearing aids, and, you know, if I feel like I need help with my hearing and I decide to buy some over-the-counter hearing aids just to try them without getting a hearing exam, is that a good idea? Is that a bad idea? Is that recommended?
It's sort of like you always want to make sure that you see an audiologist to have your hearing tested. I mean, that's the first line of fire. So whether you decide to go with a prescription hearing aid or go over-the-counter, if you're suspecting that you're not hearing as well, you absolutely should start with seeing your an audiologist. You go through your primary care physician, get yourself a prescription for a hearing test, and start with the audiologist, because sometimes it could be wax in the ears, sometimes it could be an infection. There can also be other medical situations that are causing you to recognize that you're not hearing properly. So if you're going immediately and just getting this over-the-counter hearing aid, you're bypassing all of that evaluation. So the safe thing to do is to start with the audiologist, so she can help, or he can help, rule out anything that's medically that needs medical attention.
Okay, and then you can certainly find out. But what if someone does, like, I don't want to have to go to another doctor. I go to enough doctors. What if they don't want to do that? Is there an alternative?
Well,
if they don't want to. They really need to, right?
I mean, that's the whole. They need to. Do they have to? They don't have to. The Food and Drug Administration advises that you have a hearing test before you go down that road. But you don't have to. They didn't put it into the regulation. So if you stop by one of the drugstores and you want to pick up an over-the-counter hearing aid, they're going to hand it to you. As long as you're going to pay for it, they're not going to ask if you've had a hearing test.
Right.
You're going to be able to do that. But there are a few things that if you decide that you don't want to go down that road, some of the questions you should ask yourself are, are you able to hear easily and quiet on a one-on-one situation? Are there a few difficult listening situations where you think you would want to hear? Where are the over-the-counter hearing aids as opposed to feeling like you would need it in most communication situations? So sometimes people will say, I hear fine on one-on-one, but then if I'm in a noisy situation, that's when I'm having difficulties hearing. And are you turning up the volume on the television or in your phone? One of the things I like to tell people is that it's very interesting with people, now that we're all on our cell phones all the time. So what I notice oftentimes is when people are on their cell phone and they put their cell phone on speaker or not even on speaker, and if I can hear the conversation from the phone, that usually means the person's got hearing loss, and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize they've pumped the volume up on their phone so loud that everybody around them can hear what the person's saying on the phone, but they don't understand. They don't see that, because they're hearing it normally.
Right, it's not loud to them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have it turned up.
It's not loud to them, but if I'm next to you and I can hear that conversation, that usually means like there's some hearing loss present.
Even in a quiet room.
This is what they do. If I'm on the phone and I can't hear, I'm gonna turn up the volume of the phone.
So if I'm sitting next to my dad has hearing aids. So let's say my mom, who doesn't have hearing aids, and she's on her phone, and I could hear everything, even if there's nothing else going on in the room, if I could hear it clear as day, and I'm just a couple feet away from her, then chances are
she might have some level of hearing loss.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
We just don't know at what level.
Mild. But again, that can be a little bit of an embarrassing situation, because you don't even realize that everybody in the room can hear what the person's saying on the phone.
Yeah, if you don't realize it, then they don't even know. Right, yeah.
It doesn't even need to be on speaker. It can be off the speaker.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
yeah,
if it's on speaker, of course you're going to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
My dad will put it on speaker, even though he has hearing aids.
Well, there's nothing wrong with putting on speaker, because the thing is when it's on speaker, it's coming into both ears. So if he's only got it on the phone, he's got to put it up to one ear. So if it's on speaker, it's coming into both ears, and you're always going to hear better when sound comes into both ears. That's why when someone has what we call symmetrical hearing, or hearing the same in both ears, you always want to wear two hearing aids, because the brain is designed to hear from both sides. That's when you're going to hear better. That's when you're going to be able to process better. So you always want to wear two hearing aids, because people will oftentimes come in and say, oh, well, I only want to wear one. And they don't understand that the brain is designed to hear from both sides. And they're going to hear better in quiet with only one hearing aid, but once they go into a situation that's more challenging, they're not going to hear as well.
Is there any harm to the ear if you just use one, even if you don't have a hearing issue? Like, could that damage your ear by just using one?
Talking about the hearing aids, like there were studies that were done many, many years ago that support the need to wear two hearing aids. So if you have someone that's got the same hearing in both of their ears and you only amplify one ear, there have been studies that have shown that over the course of time, the ear that's not been amplified, the decrease in the hearing accelerates. It's just that the ear that has the hearing aid doesn't decline as quickly as the ear that doesn't have the hearing aid. So those were some studies many, many years ago that continue to support why patients should always wear two hearing aids, if they can.
Use it or lose it.
Kind of.
Yeah. That's interesting. That from not using the ear as much, it declines quicker.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's get into the big question. We have a couple minutes left. We want to talk about the money, because that's what everybody's wondering about. All right. Well, what do these cost? That we have prescription hearing aids, and then we have over-the-counter hearing aids. What? How much can I expect to pay? I walk into the drugstore, just like you said, and I'm having trouble hearing. You got any over-the-counter hearing aids? Yeah, we have. What are they going to pay?
Well, see, it depends. There are a lot of different prices. I mean, the over-the-counter hearing aids, the true over-the-counter hearing aids can start off at a minimum of $300 and can go all the way up to $1,000 each.
Each year?
Each year,
yeah. All right, so that's $600 to $2,000 then, because you're going to get two. Right, okay.
Absolutely. And the thing people have to understand about, I mean, prescriptive hearing aids can be very expensive. They can start off at maybe $1,200 each and go all the way up to maybe $3,000 each. So there's a big price difference, but if you say, well, I'm going to get an over-the-counter hearing aid and I think I better get a better one and I'm going to buy one for $1,000, and you say to yourself, but for a couple hundred dollars more, you can get a prescriptive hearing aid.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go through an audiologist and be professionally fit. It's not your high-end sophisticated hearing aid like the $6,000 hearing aids for both ears, but at least you're getting the professional care that you need.
When it comes to either one of them, how do you know what brand or what kind is best? Or do the brands not matter? Is there a brand? Is it kind of like any other brand? It's what you prefer? Like I like Maytag or I like Whirlpool.
In terms of the over-the-counter hearing aids?
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's go with that. I mean, either one of them.
That's the whole thing. If you're not going to professional, you're out there. You've got to make a decision on that. You've got to do your homework. You know, there are some audiologists that do dispense over-the-counter hearing aids here at JFK. We've made the decision to counsel the patients towards that if that's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's the consumer's responsibility to do their homework.
And you could pay more for a product that is less quality. It costs more doesn't mean it's better. And that's true for many things.
But I think the Food and Drug Administration in the law says that you do have a certain amount of time to return them.
The over-the-counter as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is that the same for the prescription?
For the prescription, there is it's not a law in New Jersey. We have the ability to give somebody a trial period.
Okay.
It's suggested in New Jersey for the people that are selling hearing aids that they give patients a trial period. It's not a regulation, but it's a suggestion. And here at JFK, there is an opportunity to return the hearing aids for a minimal fee.
Okay, so you can return them. So you're not,
correct.
You don't spend thousands of dollars, whatever the case may be, and then, well, these don't work. And now I got it.
Well, and again, the other problem is that people, when they're having challenges during their trial period, they need to make sure they're coming back. Some people don't do that. And then every once in a blue moon, you have someone that shows up 6 months, a year later and says, these hearing aids aren't working for me. But yet they weren't coming back for their follow-up appointments. But the majority of patients, you know, they come back and they're interested and they want to do better because it's not like buying a suit off the rack, size 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's like buying a tailored suit where you got to tuck it here, nip it there, you know, and fit it and program it based on the patient's needs and lifestyles.
And before I let you go, just a question that just popped into my mind. When it comes to programming the hearing aids, do they program the same, the over-the-counter and the prescription? It's just the over-the-counter, you don't get anybody to do it for you? Or are they different animals?
They're different animals.
Okay.
So with the over-the-counter, it's almost like I think about the old AM radio where you had the bass and the treble.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think about the over-the-counter hearing aids. You can change the bass, you can change the treble. Whereas the prescriptive hearing aids, depending on what level of technology you have, for those people that are savvy to the music industry, is it's like a graphic equalizer. You can change each different frequency to really fine-tune it to exactly the way you want it. And that's what you'll get with the prescriptive hearing aids.
Yeah, it's a better receiver, just like
correct.
You would have with your radio.
Correct. And so, again, the over-the-counter hearing aids, some of the less expensive ones don't even have that. The more expensive ones will have a little bit of that, but it's not going to be the same as the prescriptive hearing aids. But the goal, the way I look at it, the goal gives patients an opportunity to get into the market of hearing health care. And if that's where we need to start, that's when we need to start. So I would much prefer seeing someone properly get the information from the audiologist where they're going to say, yes, you are a candidate for the over-the-counter hearing aid, purchase it to get into some type of hearing health care rather than continue to put it off and put it off and put it off. Because that's what the goal is hearing health care, and that was the goal of the FDA. Get them into some type of hearing health care.
All right, we'll end it right there. Dr. Virginia Toth, manager of the Audiology, Tinnitus, and Balance Programs at Hackensack Meridian Health Johnson Rehabilitation Institute in Edison, New Jersey. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much, Joel.
Loved having you here. For more information, go to jfkmc.org, or for a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. We'll talk next week.